This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just coming up to 5:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. First up, our over-reliance on cars is actually pushing up the prices of homes. So this comes from a report by Rehta Institute that found that the requirements for properties to have car parks equivalent to the residence essentially means that the costs of building car parks drives up the prices of homes. So in KL, for instance, about one third of construction costs actually go to building car parks. And strata residential property developers are actually required to provide up to 2 car parks per unit. So this can actually add up to 77,000 ringgit to the price of an apartment in the below 500,000 ringgit category. And that makes up 16.8% of the gross development value. Now, if you speak to developers, many of them argue that this is actually an unwarranted cost, as not all car parks are occupied. But it does stand to say that Malaysians are extremely reliant on their cars. And therefore, even those not living in apartment buildings necessarily, but in housing areas, I don't think it's uncommon to see each house having 2 or even 3 cars, issues with where to park your car. And so this really ends up being a conversation, not just about how we can bring down the cost of homes, but the knock-on effects of our reliance on cars and what we need to do to address those. So, of course, these things come up a lot: poor connectivity between homes and public transport hubs, the fact that not everyone finds it even convenient to walk to public transportation because of poor quality roads, poorly lit roads, the fact that sometimes the frequency of our public transportation is often an issue as well. So that's what we're going to be looking at after this. We'll be joined very shortly by Lillian Tay, president of the Malaysian Institute of Architects, to talk about this connection between building car parks, our reliance on cars, and the cost of homes. But we'd like to hear from you. What's the parking situation where you live? You can call 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Balming frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:11. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. And today we're talking about car parks and more specifically our over-reliance on cars and how this might be pushing up the prices of homes because buildings need to accommodate all the cars that people drive. So what we want to hear from you, very simple. What's the parking situation like where you live? You can call 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Lillian Tay, president of the Malaysian Institute of Architects. Lillian, thanks for joining us today. Now, what was the initial rationale for mandating up to 2 parking spots for residential developments?
Well, I think the car park requirements had been quite long-standing, even though our local authorities do have reviewed it over time. I would think that our car park requirements, which are considered comparably high at 2 car parks per unit, for instance, in Selangor, and 1 to 2 car parks per unit in KL, they're probably due to our local family culture. You know, we often, not just a nuclear family, but multi-generation family with grandparents staying with us often, and family culture of also caring for your elderly so that you may have a grandparent staying. So I think that probably traditionally had resulted in these higher car park requirements. And perhaps today in many urban families, that may not be the case, but car parks have been reduced a bit in Kuala Lumpur in 2015. But in Selangor, they still remain today at 2 car parks per unit and as well 20% visitor requirement, which works up to 2.2 car park per unit, even for small units of 550 square foot or 750 square foot.
So how well utilized are these parking spots?
Well, I think these, depending on where you are, I would say in outside of the city centre, perhaps where they have less access or less well connected to public transport, perhaps the station may be closed, but the walking distance is not, because it's not very walkable, there are highways in between. So that in such situations, I would say the car park currently provided are quite probably fairly well utilized. But in the city, you can begin to see where public transport has been put in place quite extensively over the last 10 to 15 years. Many of these car parks are highly underutilized. Also in the city, there are a lot of foreign buyers who buy, you know, apartments in Kuala Lumpur, and they tend not to have a car. So even though the car park requirement is there and must be provided, eventually, and they actually have to buy the unit with the car park is generally underutilized. I mean, I don't have exact data. Probably Radar would be starting to track such data. And certainly our car park managers in the city will have such good data. But I have seen personally, myself, in our own, that the car park in newer developments in Kuala Lumpur, especially the denser part of the city where the units are smaller, the car park is quite underutilized, despite the fact ridership in our public transportation in Kuala Lumpur is still very low, something like 25 to 30% for people in KL and the Klang Valley using public transport. And yet, parking in the city, car park facilities in the city, are not fully utilized.
So you've said that building car parks is equal in cost to building the homes themselves. Could you elaborate on why this is the case?
Well, you know, working as an architect and working on you know, setting out the plans for the apartments, for the car parking and for the access, things like that, we do see that, for instance, in a typical high-rise residential building, where currently developers are building small units to be able to achieve affordable prices. The units can be as small as 550 square foot to 650 square foot. And each parking space in a high-rise building, for instance, will be no less than 450 square foot of gross floor area that's needed to provide that. And so you will start to see that the proportion of built-up space that is going to the car park is starting to be very close, or in the case of small units, exceeding the built-up space that is allocated to the unit itself. And of course, in the city where there's a limitation on the number of car parks you can build above the ground, there is a lot of car parks that will be built in the basement. And the cost for that is very high, because you have to, not just high to build initially, but also to continue to maintain them through the lifespan of the building. Because, you know, you need the fire sprinkler system and you need the ventilation system, all that. So there's also the long-term cost. You could say, for instance, let's say a unit that's like 750 square foot, for instance, that will work out, well, you're buying a unit at 750 square foot, but the gross floor area to build that unit, including the lobbies and the lifts and all the services, the fire stairs, it would work out to around 950 square foot. And to provide two car parks for that unit, you would also be building around 900 square foot of car park space, because each car park space could be around 450, and in the case of smaller land parcels in the city, could be even up to 500 square foot per car park. So the irony of that is that you see that you are actually buying as much car park space as living space. And I find that that's something that we really need to review at this time, because the city has put in a lot of public transportation. You know, over the last 10, 15 years, we've put in many, many kilometers of metro rail. It's actually very well provided and well-serviced by public transportation, i.e. metro rail, LRT, MRT, the monorail, compared to the population that's residing in the city and in the greater KL area. But despite that, because of connectivity issue, lack of connectivity, if I may say, what we call first mile, last mile issues, where people find it inconvenient or difficult to get to the transport. And also, when they get to the other side to work, there's still a bit of walking that they need to do, where they probably would prefer if they were walking slightly shorter distances, or, you know, in sheltered walkways, things like that. So all of that had, this lack of walkability in the city had contributed to the very low ridership of around 25 to 30% in KL and the Klang Valley. despite the fact that the amount of metro rail that we have in Kuala Lumpur today is similar, it's not much less than what is in big cities like Seoul and even Singapore. So there's a lot of work needed to get people on the train so that we really can reduce the car park requirements. I mean, that's one part of the issue. But currently, based on the current car park requirements, you do end up with this situation where if you're buying a small unit, you are effectively buying as much area, as much footprint, and I mean also carbon footprint for your unit as for the car park, which you may or may not utilize.
And how does this then translate into the prices of homes? And could homes without parking lots be priced more reasonably, perhaps?
I see it's an opportunity that we should review and, of course, as soon as possible, together with the local authorities, because the local authorities are the parties that set the minimum number of car parks. They go on minimum number of car parks you have to provide for the development. So there is a need to review that and see how we can look at other forms of parking or providing car park. For instance, perhaps a car park can be on a rental basis. So the developer that sells a unit, he builds some car park, maybe some amount of car park, perhaps 50% more than what is built today, for instance. And the purchasers may have the option to buy later so that they have less constraints on them when they apply for their loans, for instance. You know, that the extra cost built in to buy that car park may be just make that difference as to whether they meet the requirements to get a housing loan approved. So I think Radar Institute had made some research which shows that the car park can cost up to around 17 to 20% of their selling price. This is just selling price. I'm looking at footprint, the carbon footprint of the current car park requirements compared to the type, the size of the units that we're building today.
Are there success stories from other cities that have faced these sorts of challenges?
I think every city has different considerations of the population makeup, the amount of public infrastructure put in place. Probably a close example is Singapore, where the ridership is very high. I think it's around 70 to 80% of the population actually use the public transportation system, a combination of bus plus the MRT or MTR, as it's called. And I think that they got there because there were also a lot of disincentives placed, meaning that there were additional taxes on car ownership. There is also congestion pricing in the city centre, such that people will not drive into the city. So I think these are some steps that are needed to be able to achieve the targets of getting more people out of dependency on vehicular transportation and getting used to taking public transportation as a daily habit. I think Singapore would be a good example. And of course, it is very necessary to address the first and last mile obstacles by making our cities a lot more walkable, not just cities, but the suburbs, because the suburbs can be equally not so walkable. And there's hardly any sidewalks, for instance, that go straight from road to road shoulder. So making it more easily accessible for people to get from their homes to the station or to the bus stop would help to get more people onto the public transportation. Of course, bus transportation is another issue where if we either using technology to be able to track the timing of buses or just purely by having buses always be punctual and arrive at the bus stop when you expect it every morning at that time. These are easily done, low-hanging fruit, I believe, that could be made much better to be able to reduce the dependency on using cars to get to work and therefore owning cars and therefore having car parks and having to pay for, having to have such a big portion of the price of your home to be spent on the car park.
So if the laws were changed and these requirements were done away with, how would this affect the design and development of future homes?
I would say that it is really time for all the stakeholders, i.e. the developers, architects and planners like ourselves, to sit down with the local authorities and to revisit the situation with the target of reducing not just house prices, but also making a significant impact on carbon emission and be able to meet our climate action commitments of Malaysia and of Kuala Lumpur that have been set out in Kuala Lumpur Structure Plan, our Kuala Lumpur Action Plan, and the country's own commitment to the Paris Agreement. It is really time because those deadlines are quite close. We are only like less than 10 years away, less than 10 to 20 years away from those target deadlines to be able to reduce the impact on the environment that the current mode and rate of development has been impacting.
Lillian, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Lillian Tay, president of the Malaysian Institute of Architects, weighing in on, well, essentially this finding that building car parks pushes up the prices of properties. And of course, this leads to a conversation about our over-reliance on cars. So we'd like to hear from you. What do you make of this? But also, what's the parking situation like where you live? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.